Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
With anything, it's sometimes you just take your first step and then you take another and then you take another, and all of a sudden you're too far down the road to turn back around. So I think that's really what happened here.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Rising Coaches Association, the biggest coaching tree in all of basketball. Sign up for the Rising Coaches Association now for just $120 a year and become part of our community, relationships, and development. We talk about it all the time. There's no straight lines in this profession. There's only ups and downs. You need a community that knows exactly what you're going through and has been there before to help lean on during the rough times of the industry. You need genuine relationships, not just exchanging numbers, not just meeting new people at the Final Four in the off season. You should be doing it all year round, and we provide tremendous opportunities to create those genuine relationships all through the year. And finally, development. We have so much content and so many resources so that you can work on your craft and become a better coach. Because we put such a premium and an emphasis on helping you establish new, genuine relationships, it takes all of the political BS side of the business out of the equation for you. All of that gets removed off of your plate. You can just worry about being you, making new friends in the business, and working on your craft and becoming the best coach that you can be and impacting the people that you're around on a daily basis. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com/membership. That's risingcoaches.com/membership. All right, welcome to A Real Conversation with Adam Gordon. Today we are joined by my good friend, Lemon Perfect CEO and founder, former college basketball coach, Yanni Huffnagel. Yanni, what's up, my man? How are you?
Adam, I'm doing great. Happy Monday, and thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being here. First of all, how about that? That was our new intro. Very dramatic. Shout out to KJ Kenny, our producer, for putting that together.
I'll tell you, I loved it. I had some goosebumps as the clock was ticking down there.
Yeah, we do it big here, Yanni.
That was awesome.
We're rolling out the red carpet for you. Yanni, no, I'm glad to have you on. I got a lot to talk about with you. I got a lot of questions. But more than anything, I'm like genuinely curious about your new venture. You guys are off to a great start, having tremendous success. And I got to pick your brain because I'm newly into like the entrepreneurial world and running a business. So I got my notepad out ready to take some notes.
I love it. A lot of parallels to coaching. I can assure you of that. So it's been quite a journey so far, and we're just getting started.
Okay, let's start there, Yanni, because first of all, most of our listeners are basketball coaches, and they know you from your coaching career. So I know they're excited. I've been getting a hit up all week on social media about people excited to hear what you're doing with your life and your career. Tell us a little bit about that decision to leave coaching. You were in the middle of a great, very successful college basketball coaching career, starting at Oklahoma. You had stops at several big time programs, Harvard, Cal, Vanderbilt, Nevada. What went into the decision to like make the career change?
You know, Adam, it's with anything, it's sometimes you just take your first step and then you take another and then you take another, and all of a sudden you're too far down the road to turn back around. So I think that's really what happened here. You know, my last year I'm at Nevada, working with Coach Musselman and the great staff. We had a fantastic year. And about halfway through the year, a friend of mine wrote a book on the ketogenic diet. And in the back of his book were all of these sample meal plans. And every day started by taking an organic lemon, cutting it into half, squeezing it into water, and out the door you go. And it really became a non-negotiable part of my daily routine. And I hated it, right? No taste. Horrible process. And you know, I'm in the locker room a couple of weeks later and our players are all drinking vitamin water. And Coach Musselman was actually big on buy. And, you know, the light bulb just went off. And I said, hold on a second. Can you take, you know, this powerful super fruit, the organic lemon, and give it the flavor profile of Main Street America? And, you know, I didn't see it clearly then. I see it clearly now. I mean, our locker room was such a cross section of socio, you know, economics and demographics. We had, you know, we had black and white. We had unbelievably wealthy and you know, unbelievably poor. And yet everyone was still you know, galvanized by flavor. And so the idea just sat in my mind, and the season ended. And, you know, I was having lunch with a friend of mine in Santa Monica right after the season ended. And he said, we were talking about this idea, and he said, anything that you can do that can capture a piece of someone's daily routine, what they do in the morning when they first get up, what they do at night when they go to sleep, or any point B, C, D, E in between is worth going for. And I said, John, okay, here we go. I've got it, the morning elixir. And that night, you know, I Googled beverage formulation. I was in the mix for a couple of other jobs, some really compelling jobs. And I just felt like it was the time to take a breath and see what else might be out there. You know, I'm very fortunate that I did dive in, because, you know, really now for the first time, I feel like my impact can be far greater than just 13 lives in a locker room. We really have an opportunity to affect millions and millions of lives now by offering something on a shelf that's truly better for you than everything else around it.
So you said something that resonated with me about, like, you just put one foot in front of the other and then you get to the point where you feel like there's no return. That was like when I left coaching, I felt like I had put so much into this coaching career. That's all I wanted to do since I was, you know, whatever, 15 years old. And I don't know that I ever really, like, over the course of my 17 years coaching, really stopped and reexamined, is this still what I want to be doing with my life every single day? And when I got near the end, and there was a lot of apprehension about leaving this career that I put so much time into, and like, what else can I do? Like, can I really go run a business? Was there that type of apprehension for you, or were you just so, like, steadfast in your belief in what you were about to get into that there was just, you just jumped right in?
You know, it's a great question. Here's the thing, right? Everything is cumulative. Every day that I was in coaching has really paved the way for what we're building now, right? You know, I often joke around when people ask, you know, what does it take to go build a consumer brand that has the potential to scale in the way that Lemon Perfect does? And I say, go coach college basketball for 10 years, build a network, and then come back to me. You know, the truth is that, you know, me having, you know, coached, you know, at the places that I did, with the players that I did, with the staffs that I did, that's really fueled so much of what we've done, candidly. And, you know, so, you know, every day that I, you know, that I was coaching, I built stock in what we are now doing right now. And it was a really natural transition, honestly, and still is. You know, when I'm an assistant coach, or when you're an assistant coach, that's what we're doing now. And, you know, I'm still recruiting. I'm recruiting, you know, dynamic talent now every day. We've got 31 people at the company. We have a plan. We think to have 100 people at the company between now and this time next year. You know, and I've got economics to go do it now, right? Which I didn't have when I was in college. So again, it just, the truth is that you know, yeah, I mean, I had the idea, and all of a sudden, you know, you, with each passing day, you know, you kind of go deeper and deeper in it. And, it's been three immeasurably difficult years to get to this point. You know, that was the summer of 17 when we kind of had the idea. And now here we are, back end of the summer of 2020. But the truth is, again, there are just so many parallels between coaching and building and running a company, namely around storytelling, and recruiting, and then sales, right? Every day we're measured by our scoreboard. How many cases did we sell? And so again, I mean, we're building an office and there's going to be a big scoreboard on the wall. So, you know, my scoreboard is still there. It's just the numbers are a little bit bigger and different. We still coach a great team. I talk about our locker room, you know, quote unquote, every day, and building great culture, team first culture. So, yeah, I mean, It's just, it really is, I think, probably as good of a transition as there is from coaching to building something and managing people.
And you mentioned the road to where you are now, which you just completed a round of funding. Congratulations for Lemon Perfect to expand. And show us the bottle, by the way. I know you're about to take a swig. Let's see what we're working with. Lemon Perfect. What flavor is that?
This is our Just Lemon. So this is our, I'm trying to find the camera here.
Yeah, we can see it perfect right there. Yeah.
This is our base SKU. We have four flavors on Amazon. So just type in Lemon Perfect into the Amazon search tool. Enjoy. We're really excited. I mean, from a product perspective, we're in the enhanced water category, and I really think that we found this magical intersection of good for you and great flavor, at a price point that is that's certainly seeing us drive multiples and off the shelf. So yeah, it's the product is an exciting one for sure. It's really resonating quite broadly, irrespective of channel of trade or geography. So we can get into that, but
yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So talk about the difficulty that you kind of referenced. And, it's funny, like running Rising Coaches for 10 years, we've had coaches come in and talk about how difficult, how there's nothing that can prepare you to be a head coach, right? As soon as you move over to that office, there's a whole nother level of responsibility and decisions that all goes on your shoulders. And I feel like just in the past year for me running Rising Coaches, I've experienced that. Talk about some of your difficulties and some of the challenges over the last 3 years of like stepping into that leadership role.
Well, coaching got a little bit easier with each passing year. I walked into this and I didn't know anything, right? I'm still learning every day. So that's, so anytime that you jump into something and don't, obviously have experience or a great understanding of what that world is, there are going to be challenges, and you just have to immerse yourself in it and learn and put great people around you. And I've been fortunate that we've been able to do that. I think ultimately just getting it off the ground, right? Figuring out, how do you create a great product? Where do you sell it? How do you sell it? What are the economics of, what are the economics of beverage look like, right? There's multiple tiers of distribution. How do you distribute the product? So for me, there was a lot to try to figure out. I started at the base level. I said, we've got to build a great brand first, right? We have to build a great product and a great brand. And then, at least that gives us the potential to build something that can really scale. So for me, it was really about, putting the foundational bedrock of a great story in play early. I knew that flavor was going to be key. So we had to have a product that tasted great, that checked off all the prevalent consumer boxes, right? So zero sugar, low calorie, organic, non-GMO, keto, gluten-free, right? Made from real fruit. I mean, these are all things that we are, that have allowed us to really carve out, something that's unbelievably disruptive in beverage. So we started there, right? And again, it's like, when you're at Harvard, you're at Vanderbilt, or you're at Cal, you're at Nevada, you're trying to build great story, right? What makes, why are we at Harvard better, a better option than Princeton or Yale, right? Or any of the other schools in the league. And, it ultimately starts, with the brand and the product and, in college basketball, the head coach. But, it's the same thing for us. There's just, again, I mean, hiring great people early on was a challenge for me because I didn't know exactly what I was looking for. We've gotten a lot better over the last couple of years. I'm proud that no one has left our company voluntarily. No one's resigned. And the hope is that we can continue to, do that by building great culture and having a great product and billion-dollar upside. But talent is what scales businesses. Talent is what ultimately gives you a chance to cut down the nets on the floor and win championships. And so that for me right now you know, with the brand built and some product market fit, you know, now the next principal challenge for us is hiring dynamic talent with great experience that can really help us scale this business forward and take us to the next level of growth.
I love it. I feel like you're recruiting. You're like, this is the recruiting pitch. I feel like I'm at the on my official visit at Nevada.
Hey, we had some good ones there. That's for sure. That we had some good ones there. Moss is, he's fantastic. He's you know, and that's what I'll say too. I mean, you know, I've taken, you know, I worked for incredible coaches. I mean, I the best. I mean, you know, Lawrence Frank at the Nets, and then Jeff Capel at Oklahoma, and T.A., Tommy Amaker at Harvard, Kevin Stallings at Vanderbilt, Zoe, who's an investor in Lemon Perfect at Cal, Coach Musselman at Nevada. And I really was able to take, you know, what I liked from all of them and use that to build, you know, to build what we're doing now. Really, I mean, it's, you know, the organization that T.A. was, you know, so adamant about it at Harvard. I mean, that resonates very broadly. You know, we're having an all hands in Atlanta next week, and the format of the itinerary is the exact one that I used to use on all of our recruiting visits. I mean, the exact template, down to flight numbers and how they look on everyone's itinerary, right? So again, you know, I used to have recruiting lists. Now I've got depth charts and organizational charts, and, you know, we're hiring a vice president of field sales West, and I've got my top six, and it's on a spreadsheet, just like I used to do with sophomores and juniors. And so it's been very fun in that way. But we're always, you know, I wouldn't say I'm selling. I never really sold. I'm just presenting a vision, right? I think there's a difference between selling and presenting. We're very proud of what we have a chance to offer. And I think that we have, you know, my responsibility is to go build, you know, the most inclusive, diverse, you know, CPG brand that we've ever seen. And you know, that's, again, that's incredibly exciting, you know, for me as we move forward.
Yeah, that's great. All right, take me back to like the very beginning of Lemon Perfect. You leave coaching, you run a Google search on, you know, beverages or whatever. You make the decision, bam, I'm getting out of coaching, I'm jumping 2 feet in. So like, do you have like a partner? Is there a team that you assemble? Or are you just trying to figure this out one day at a time?
Adam, I was blind. I tell you, the first beverage formulator that I met with was actually in Louisville, Kentucky. It was the week before July 4th, 2017. And I had no idea what I was doing. You know, when we did home visits, I'd bring in a big board of graphics and all that. So I did the same thing here. I came in with my board of negotiables and non-negotiables, and I had my suit and tie on, and I was really secretive about the idea. So I walked in and I signed the NDA in the room, and then I shared the idea with them, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't do anything that is made from real fruit. So that meeting lasted 15 minutes, and I walked out, and I remember calling my mom on the way back. I flew out of Cincinnati. I remember calling my mom on the way back and you know, telling her, I think I probably need to go take a high school job because this isn't going to work. You know, and all more or less, I think by that point, everyone, all the college jobs were off the board. So I was like, man, should I just scramble here? Should I go coach AAU for a year and dive right back in? But persistence wins. The next week, I made a few more phone calls, ended up finding a great beverage formulator in Sherman Oaks, California, a woman named Kathy Lamb. I went in there. I ended up sampling the first ever iteration of Lemon Perfect August 28, 2017. I was in New York and the product came in, and when I tasted it for the first time, I knew that we had something. You know, it's my, you know, I've always been kind of very in the Main Street USA demographic, just from a flavor profile. And I knew enough to know that we had to create something that would reach the largest addressable TAM. You know, we had one revision from that initial formula. And then great. Now I've got a product and basically a test tube, and I don't know what to do after that. Long story short, I was in California, and I saw on a bus stop an ad for Ritual, the women's vitamin company, and I loved it. And I tracked down their creative director, and she said she had no bandwidth. I begged her for a meeting. We met at Dinosaur Coffee in Silver Lake, and she tried the product and absolutely loved it. She said, "I'm in." And she was the one, very, very talented designer, that built basically the brand that I went out and tried to go raise our first round of economics with. It's amazing. That ended up not being the final brand, but it was enough to walk around with a little 8.5 by 11 and product in a 4 ounce glass or plastic bottle. And you don't make that much money. I mean, at the end of my career, it was better, but I hadn't saved that much. So I invested like $50,000 of what I had in the formula and, you know, kind of the initial, you know, couple of months and immersing myself in the business, going to trade shows. And then I was, you know, staring American Express charges in the face. And I said, well, we got to go raise some money here. I made a call to Vasu Kulkarni, who I'm sure many of your listeners might know. He founded Crossover, which was an early key video tool for coaches. He was in venture, and he said, okay, let's go raise this as a convertible note. I said, a convertible what? We tried. I said, well, what should we raise? We had like no model. It was just like throw numbers in the air. We said we were going to go raise $650,000. So I went out with basically this vehicle that I had no idea what it actually was. I had a product. I had a design on a little piece of paper. My first meeting couldn't have been worse. It was down in Naples, Florida. It was the hardest no that I've ever had in the entire life cycle of the company. I think that was a Monday morning. On Friday, I was back in New York, and I met with he's an investor now, a man named Danny Stein, at the Smith on the Upper West Side. We chatted, and as we walked out of the restaurant on the street corner there, he said, I love this. I love you. I'm in. Can you just get a couple extra samples for my wife? So I ran across Central Park as fast as I could ever. I'll never run that fast again. I brought them back. He called me that night. He said, I'm in. And I have my friend Joe, who I'd like to introduce you to. And then I met with Joe the following week. He came in, and all of a sudden, I think we got 40 yeses in a row. We ended up ripping up the note 3 times. We raised over $1.2 million, 40 investors in the first round, that all would have been better served walking across the street and buying lottery tickets. But I appreciate the bet that they made on me to just try to figure it out. Our company is very, very different today than it certainly was then. And I'm proud that those investors, when we go price our Series A here in the next, call it 8 weeks, they're looking at a 6x return on paper in less than 3 years. So we've had a good early start, but we're still in the first inning and have a lot of work left to do.
Okay, for sure. This is where like I'm perking up, because I'm about to go through these meetings with potential investors starting in 2 days. So the pitch itself, I feel like I've been doing that my whole career, right? Recruiting pitches, and like that doesn't make me nervous. How did you even find these investors? Like, are you just hitting up venture capital funds? Are these people that you kind of know through someone else?
Truthfully, I don't think I've made one outbound solicitation. Everything has come through word of mouth. Can I introduce you? Friend of a friend. You know, again, I think everything has to start with product. If you've got great product, and now for us, we've got product market fit, right? And we've got, we're playing in a category that has seen the largest transactions in all of consumer, right? The vitamin water transaction, the buy transaction. So we're playing in a massive category with really big upside. So you have to have a great product. I was fortunate in that we had something that you could eat or drink and really feel, right? And so there was the ability for me to connect just on flavor alone and then market opportunity. And so that helped, right? So you have to have a great product. I mean, you have to have a great product. You have to be passionate about it. And then there's got to be big market opportunity, right? What is ultimately going to make an investor feel like at the end of the journey, there's a chance for big return? And so that's for me, honestly, been different in that I never built something before this where the opportunity for an outsized return didn't exist. I'm building my first or our first build here has $1 billion upside. Right. And I think the truth is that my network understands and appreciates kind of the very binary outcome of this. Right. It's a zero or a hero. You know, and so that makes it a little bit different. And honestly, it's probably been a little bit easier for me because I've been able to sell that story. And the story has continued to get a little bit easier and easier, I guess, as more people have come into the mix. And we've established real product market fit in some of the most iconic conventional retailers in America, like a Publix or Ralph's in Southern California, now 7-Eleven. We're seeing incredible early data, velocity data there. And then it becomes a little bit about there's becomes kind of an I've got to get in kind of piece of it too, right? And again, I just... our first round, we oversubscribed that round. We ended up, you know, a year later going out and trying to raise $2.2 million. We ended up raising $3.7 million. This last round, in the middle of a global pandemic, you know, we set out to raise $4 million. We ended up raising $6.6 million, and we did it really through the dislocation in the public markets. But you know, so again, I think a lot of it is just you got to have great enthusiasm for what you're building. I mean, that's number one. You got to walk into a room and you got to be flying off the walls. I mean, that goes for anything, right? I mean, I don't care. When I was recruiting, we felt like we can get anyone. I didn't care if it was Harvard or Nevada or anywhere in between. I mean, you know, we felt like we had action. And if you have great energy and if you make it feel like people can't walk away, well, there you go, right? Like, you know, we always wanted to put kids in a position where they literally would have to, you know, almost get sick over saying no. Right. And so, you know, for me, I think, or in anything, you got to bring that great energy and that passion and that intensity into what you're selling. And you got to make, you know, the other end of the line or the other end of the Zoom, or if it's an in-person meeting, you know, again, now, you know, you just got to make them feel like they can't walk away from the opportunity that you're going to build something that's so magical, that impacts so many, that has, you know, the opportunity to build a really healthy P&L around it. I mean, there's just, again, I just, that's been the magic for me, is just, it's just having enthusiasm and energy for the opportunity and for the impact that we can make. And it's really been, honestly, Adam, it's been like the most humbling thing ever, that we've had the interest level that we have. And you know, and now the burden is going a little bit from, you know, investor burden. Obviously, I still feel that every day, but now just, you know, the opportunity for us to really go out and do real social good and make great impact, right? By delivering something that's truly better for you than what sits around it on the shelf.
Okay, Yanni, we're going to take a quick break. You can drink some Lemon Perfect while I talk about our sponsor, Connor Sports. You remember these, Yanni? Did you collect
these? Absolutely.
Yeah.
How about that? I love it.
I'm gonna send you one of these, Connor Sports. I'm gonna. This is from the 2020 Final Four that did not happen, so it's a collector's item. But Connor Sports, our very first sponsor ever with Rising Coaches, they've been with us from day one. They make the actual courts for the Final Four, for NBA teams, for FIBA teams, all the way down to high schools, rec centers, church leagues, whatever. If you have a need for a facility, again, whether you're at the highest level or the youth level, if you need a court, Connor Sports is your brand. Connor Sports, where champions play. All right, Yanni. Where does your confidence, your communication skills, like, it's very clear. Number one, couple things. I think you could probably talk to anybody. I think if you're sitting at an airport, you could probably strike up a conversation with anyone that sits next to you. And number two, your ability to present, sell, communicate. Is that something, I mean, is your whole family like that? Was there something in your upbringing that brought that out of you? Where does that come from?
It's a great question. I don't know. My brother Alec he's actually very involved in the business. He's the complete opposite. He is reserved and very analytical, numbers driven. He's very often the voice of law and order at the company. He's a formal advisor in the business. He's in private equity on Wall Street. So I don't know. I mean, I try to wake up every day and do three somersaults out of bed and attack the day. We talk at the company. I tell everyone, you know, before I sign their offer letter, that my hope is that they back their car in the night before when they get home from work so that they can get out faster in the morning, right? Like, that's the idea and that's the mindset. We want people back in their car and to their driveway at night, because they just can't wait to get started the next morning. So I don't know. I think honestly, Adam, it's been a function of just being around great people and great brands. I don't know. But I'm certainly energized every day today more than I've probably ever been. And again, I think it just goes to, you get one opportunity sometime to build something that can be ubiquitous in the way that Lemon Perfect can, probably beyond even America. And I've got to be relentless in that pursuit, and we've got to drive our team every day. And we have to work incredibly hard, but we have to have an unrelenting will to win. That drives me. I mean, I think I've been lucky in that for the last 14 years, I've woke up every day and been measured by some sort of scoreboard. I mean, I think that is a great way to wake up, right? You actually get to compete every day. It's just, sales has always been, I think, a big part of my skill set. But you can't sell without great people around. You can't sell without a great brand. I've honestly been buoyed by that. I got very fortunate that somehow, some way, I kind of found my way into Lawrence Frank's office 15 years ago. And it's just, it's been an incredible journey, really. It's been an incredible journey in the time since.
You mentioned the word burden, right? And you mentioned doing three somersaults out of bed. Do you have routines built into your day to help manage the burden and the stress of running a business?
Drink a lot of Lemon Perfect, a lot of black coffee, try to train every day, practice intermittent fasting, eat as clean as you can, be really focused on every conversation that you have, and tune out distractions, right? I mean, that's the challenge. I mean, I think, you know, for me, for the first year of this business, it was just me. And so that was unsustainable, because, you know, you're talking about being on 25/7, 365, and And that becomes challenging. You know, for the first time now over the last couple of months, you know, I'm really just so excited about the team that we're building. I mean, I love the people that we have in the company. Love. I mean, our team is big time with just passion and an unrelenting will to win and an always on mentality. And, you know, it's just, and so for me, you know, I think I probably, we're moving our headquarters to Atlanta. So I'm excited about that change. That'll be in sometime in the first quarter of 2021. And that I hope is a move that allows us or allows me to establish even more routine in my daily schedule. Hopefully a little bit more balance in our people's lives and schedules so that we're not always being pulled into this Zoom or this conference call. You know, I tell everyone that this is not a 9-to-5. It's not a 24/7, 365 either. It's somewhere in the middle. We always need to be thinking about Lemon Perfect. We always have to be on, but we also have to find a way to make sure that we've got great balance and breadth every day. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty, you know, I'm pretty, routine and OCD, and you know, my calendar invites all look a certain way and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I mean,
do you train? Speaking of your training, do you train in the morning? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, first thing, because if you don't get it in early, you're done. I mean, in my position, I mean, when you're coaching, it's a little bit different. You can get it in before practice, after practice. Once when you're building something like this, you know, I mean, our business grew 10x or will likely grow 10x, 11x this year over year. So 2019 was our first year. We did around $300,000 of sales in our first year. We'll more than 10x that this year. And candidly, we're likely barreling towards a $15 million business in 2021. And so, you know, there's no time. I mean, man, when I sit down or when I get going, there just isn't a lot of, I mean, that you just, I mean, shoot, you can't even begin to imagine what unfolds over the course of the day. All high energy things, right? But I mean, it's just if you don't get it in early, I think it's a really hard thing to have to figure out how to catch up. But again, I mean, everyone's got different routine and rhythm, and you know, I think you know, trying to put your phone away at night and hit the sheets, and then when the bell goes off in the morning, you just jump right up and get after it. But yeah, I mean, I think you do have to be pretty routine based. If you look at kind of some of the great, you know, leaders that we've seen, you know, I try to draw inspiration from all of them. I generally wear the same thing every day. I buy all of my clothes on Amazon, you know, and that's, you know, that's kind of just the way to keep it simple and easy. Well, we're about to sign a Nike deal, so I'm excited about that. You know, our team will be Nike head to toe. So that's coming. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm pretty routine based.
When you get that first check from your funding round, you know, you said you raised, I don't know, $600,000+. What was like, now the real work starts, right? Like, what was, like, that's one of the things going into this round of meetings that I have coming up with potential investors. I'm like, you know, I'm excited about it. I can't wait. I know we're going to get the money, but then it's like, well, once we get it, well, shit, now what? Was there any of that going on or like?
Yeah. I mean, early it's we've cleaned it up here late. You know, but the truth is that our first round was friends and family. It was angel dollars. You know, the last two rounds of financing, as the business has developed and we've had a much better fundamental understanding of what to do every day. I mean, now we've got real institutional dollars in, and real governance and accountability, which is obviously incredibly important. But yeah, early on, I mean, our first check, came from Spencer Dinwiddie, actually. So that was a cool moment. And Spencer's, he's become an even better friend over the last 3 years. And I'm really proud of him and what he's been able to do on and off the floor. Spence and I met on a park bench when he was searching. It was before, you know, he really turned it on in Brooklyn and got that opportunity. And you know, I was Lemon Perfect. I think we had a name when Spence and I first met, but I'm not even sure. And so that's been a really fun, you know, kind of relationship to watch unfold. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's we treat every penny like it's our own. It's really important. You know, we try to have ROI on every, now more than ever, ROI on every dollar that we spend. You know, I think we're really tightening the screws on our, you know, P&L and trying to build a really responsible business. And, you know, I love, you know, our unit economics story today and where it can go. And that's the thing, Adam, like when you walk into a room, people have to, early on, people have to make, your investors have to make a little bit of a blind bet, right? You know, you could do all, you know, I could talk about how our COG story was going to improve over time, but ultimately, you know, there, all that was just a leap of faith in me and vision. And so, you know, there are ultimately going to be certain things where people have to kind of suspend belief when you sit around the table for the first time. Find investors that will dream with you. You know, I think that's the most important thing. Find investors that understand that it's not always going to be a straight line up and to the right. There are going to be moments of great challenge and adversity. You know, and I'm sure that day for us is coming at some point. You know, and I always try to be very transparent, you know, in the binary nature of the investment. Although maybe that the binary nature for us is maybe starting to get a little bit less so, which is good. But yeah, I mean, it is an incredible burden, Adam, when you have investors that bet on you, right? I mean, think about that. Every decision that we make, I think about them. And it's not easy, right? I mean, 128 investors, that's a lot of conversations, that's a lot of back and forth, that's a lot of diligence. Fortunately, a lot of the heavy lifting has been done. And now, you know, we have this great network of capital and, you know, we're getting pelted every day by new interest, which is, again, it's amazing. You know, it's, I feel like Kentucky a little bit, but, you know, it's, you know, John will tell you how hard it is to actually cut down the nets. Right. So, again, you know, we understand the challenge that we have every single day and excited to keep building it for sure.
Okay. Two more questions for you, Yanni, if you got time for us. Okay. What books, what podcasts, how are you educating yourself on this new venture over the last three years?
Yeah, I'll share my Kindle reading list with you. Let's see what my podcasts here. I think I've got 9. I try to really limit it because you know, I just don't have that much bandwidth. So what do I have? How I Built This with Guy Raz is fantastic. It really is fun. Yeah. Fun listen. The Business of Sports, Bloomberg Business of Sports is fantastic. Then I've got some very beverage specific or brand specific, CPG specific podcast, Taste Radio, Brand Builder, Unfinished Biz, Woj Pod. I have to support, you know, my guys. So, you know, Evan Daniels, John Rothstein, Suiting Up with Paul Rabel is fantastic. I don't know when Paul's had his last pod. And then there's a really interesting thinker on Twitter, Naval. So I have his pod on here. But, you know, again, I have to be honest, Adam. You know, like I'm looking at it. It's like, do you want to start listening again, start downloading? It's hard. I mean, it's really hard. I think you'll find the same thing. So much of my learning happens in coaching. Right. So like my thinking what we try to do and attack every single day, I learned through experience over 12, 13 years, right? I'm always thirsty and hungry for information, but it's more like just to be inspired. I think what we do every day, it still comes straight from the heart, from my gut, and from our team's heart and gut. You got to be unique to you. And I think part of the reason why Lemon Perfect has been able to, carve out a little bit of an opportunity here is because I came in with no idea on what to build or what to do. Our bottle doesn't look like anything that was on the shelf before us. There was never a product that was created even in the same realm as Lemon Perfect. No one ever said, can we take something made from real fruit and give it the flavor profile that America craves and do it with no sugar? So you have to, again, I think anytime that you can go into something where you're not framed by past experience, but you're buoyed by a network that can help you get there. I mean, that's the secret, or at least for us, it's been kind of the magic formula. So again, I try to read, 15, 20 minutes every night on my Kindle, when I can, when I'm in the car, podcast, but I don't find myself like sitting in front of the computer with a podcast on very often, to be honest. So again, things are just moving too fast. It's hard to sit down and find that time. And it's an area where I'd love to try to get better for sure.
Okay. Last question, Yanni. I'm going to take you down a hypothetical right now.
Yeah. So
let's just say you guys sell the company for billions of dollars. You go live on an island somewhere for 15 years. And then you come back and just cause you want to do something, you get a chance to coach the Lakers, the Bulls, UCLA, Kentucky, whatever. What are you taking now from your business experience and putting towards building a basketball program? For the coaches that listen, what knowledge can you share from us? What if you went back and coached a basketball team right now, what would you apply from Lemon Perfect?
Yeah, it's a great question. Build a great staff. One, surround yourself with unbelievable people. I don't think there's anything more important. If I went back and coached, I would hire an even better staff than I would have if I never had this experience. We would be unbelievably organized and have insane attention to detail every day. But I think I have probably even a different approach to recruiting now than I did. But who knows? Maybe I'll get that. Maybe I'll do it. I don't know, man. But I just think again, it starts with having great energy. So, never take a job where you don't believe that you can build a great story around it. Like I would tell you, you cannot fake enthusiasm for what you're presenting or what you're selling. So you better put yourself in a position or a situation where you really believe in it. And then you have to have maniacal focus on what you're doing there and not have, and that this was, listen, I would have been a lot better as a basketball coach if I didn't have my head on a swivel and try to figure out what might have come next. I was always on the freaking, I don't even know what's that, coaching rumors and all that. I mean, I get off of that. Like you gotta be maniacal about where you are. And I wish I could have that back. I wish I only thought about the moment, because I think that's what I'm doing now. And I'm not thinking about, where this can go. Real. I mean, we always want to dream, right? If you're coaching basketball, you want to dream about climbing the ladder and cutting down the nets. I want to dream about selling this company to a strategic I want this to be the largest transaction ever. I want this to be a $5 billion transaction. I want to change the world. I want to do all those things. But really, I'm focused on selling our next case. I am focused on building the team for today that can help us sell our next case. You have to be in the moment. And so for me, I think if I could go back, if I could do it again, if I could be a better assistant, I would not have my head on a swivel. I would be so locked in and so dialed into the moment and relentless supporting my head coach. That's again, sometimes, you know, when you can look back and you're out of it, you have such better perspective. And it's so hard to sometimes see it clearly when you're in it. But, you know, my advice would be don't take a job unless you believe in who you're working for and the brand that you're representing. And it'll all play itself out. But we live, I mean, the NBA obviously is a little bit different. But if in college basketball, you're only going to be as good as the story that you can present or sell in recruiting. It's fact. And so, you know, that would be my advice. And then again, just to have an inflammable enthusiasm for the people that you work with, right? And care less about, you know, who gets the credit. You know, I wish I did a better job of that when I was recruiting. And, you know, so again, I just think when you're out of it and you've had a chance to move away a little bit, you get really just framed with such different perspective. And then I also wish I just appreciated every moment of the journey a little bit more. And you know, that's, I guess for me, that's hard. You know, we had such great moments everywhere. And I just wish I did a little bit of a better job taking a breath every now and then to really understand how great of a situation I was in, how great the people, you know, that I worked with were. You know, like that for me, like when I look back on it, like Tracy Webster was probably the best assistant that I've ever worked with or been around. I mean, just unbelievably smart, you know, I mean, high basketball IQ. And yet when I was in the moment, like, I don't know if I made him know like that I felt that way, if that makes sense, you know? And so, you know, you just, you know, it is what it is. But you know, those are obviously things that you know, you just get great perspective on as you move away, you know, as you move away from the situation. So we'll see. I do hope, you know, maybe there's an opportunity way down the road to get back in it. Although I'm tantalized by what we can maybe build next. So who knows?
I love it. Yanni Hufnagel, the CEO and founder of Lemon Perfect. Go visit Amazon.com and buy a case right now. What are the flavors you got? Give me the quick rundown.
Yeah, so we have just lemon, which has a lemonade-like flavor profile, dragon fruit mango, peach raspberry, and blueberry acai. We have a variety pack on Amazon. Three of each flavor. We're launching two new flavors. I can't announce them here, but two new flavors in March. We have some great innovation on the way. Really excited about what we can build. You can go to lemonperfect.com. It'll direct you directly to amazon.com and allow you to check out on Amazon. We'll be launching our own direct to consumer platform sometime in the early part of 2021. But Adam, man, I'm so proud of you and looking forward to helping you on your journey. We spoke offline here a few minutes before this, and I love, you know, your mindset, your mentality, and where you can take this and blow it up. And I would love for Lemon Perfect to be a supporting sponsor as you go and build it. You know, for me, the opportunity, and we've got some things that we'll be announcing over the next couple of months and beyond, but the opportunity for me now to give back to the people that supported me along the way, you know, that's obviously, you know, that's really exciting. And so we're in. So I'll connect you with our marketing team, and we'd love to see if we can, you know, do something. I don't know if we can get the signage that Connor has here, but we'd love to do something. I'm proud of you. I think what you're doing here is great, and I can't wait to see it all unfold from here as you go really take this to the next level in this world of, of you know, podcasting and live streaming and all of that.
Well, I appreciate it, Yanni. And I'm looking forward. You're coming to Atlanta, so I'll be a couple hours away. So don't be surprised if I just drop in one day.
We would love to have you, man. I think you'll like what we're building. It's a really cool space. 6,000 square feet, right in West Midtown Atlanta. And, you know, it'll really be our first home. And, you know, and for me, I felt like that was, in some ways, our first office was in Hermosa Beach, small space, great space. But, you know, I loved walking into the office every day when I was coaching and being around the staff and the players. And I just think it's really, really hard, even in a sales-driven organization where you have a field team that's out across America. I think you have to have a central nervous system that feels like home, especially for us, for our marketing operations and finance teams. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to really plant our first big flag in the ground in a great spot. Obviously, Atlanta has unbelievable diversity, great airport, up and coming, you know, from a business perspective. Coke's right around the corner. And, you know, one of the apartments that I'm looking at overlooks Coke's campus. I want to stare them down every day, right? You have to have an eye on where you could potentially go.
I love it. Yanni, congrats on all the great success, man. We look forward to following along with you and Lemon Perfect.
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate your time. What a cool hour here. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's up, podcast fans? I want to share some information about one of our partners, Lucio Sports. The team at Lucio has built an integrated platform of coaching productivity and player development apps that are being used by some of the best basketball programs around the globe, helping everyone from NBA champions to youth development academies. Their innovative and competitive memorization games make it so much easier for new players and staff members to remotely get caught up to speed. With animated playbooks, drill libraries, player development planning and monitoring, engaging game plans and scouting reports, predictive play drawing, their content services team, and more, Lucio Sports has got you covered. From players to coaches to support staff and executives, use Lucio Sports to securely keep everyone in your organization on the same page with simple on-demand access to your team's entire knowledge base. For more information, check out luciosports.com. That's LUCEO sports.com.